I had a good fall retreat. I did. And I know a lot of you did too, but there, for those of you who didn't show, I really don't want you to, you couldn't make it for whatever reason, I don't want you to, I don't want you to feel as if you're behind. I want you to feel as if you're just one step away from being that much more included by us that did go. Because I think what happened at this retreat, like it does every year, is I really think to a large degree we became a family. And I think that there is a lot of new faces and people and stories that we got to meet. And we got to surrender together. And when you surrender together, just amazing things happen. And that's what happened. And I know that it's easy to look from the outside and to say that maybe it's easy to think about counting baptisms as something that you put in, as some kind of a token that you count for yourself. But that is not what Jesus counts. He counts surrender. And Sunday morning was just beautiful to see 10. We had 10 people get baptized on Sunday morning. Isn't that awesome? So cool. And this is pretty cool. We haven't talked an awful lot about it. We just have so many things going on. But you need to know that there are 3 ministries in the Philippines that are Encounter ministries that many of our alums have gone over and spent summers there starting these ministries. And so there are 3 campus ministries there that are just doing ministry like they are here. And it's amazing to think that we've kind of got Encounter campus ministry going round the clock, because they're like 12 hours opposite from us. So like 12 noon's like midnight for them. And so we're just kind of always moving. And it was so fun for me to come back from fall retreat. And I'm tired. You know how it was yesterday. You know, you're sitting there, you're like groggy, but you're like, oh, there's all these Facebook posts. You just got to read through these things. You know how it is. And I'm just rolling through, and one pops up from Arnold, our campus minister in the Philippines. And this was the picture that they had. Isn't that cool? Can we dim that down just a little bit? You can see we had 4 people get baptized. And every time they get baptized, they have these shirts that we ended up giving them. It says, the old is gone, the new has come. They printed those. They were just plain shirts that we gave them. And so every time there's baptisms, they wear these shirts. And they want to show us what God is doing there. The same God that worked in our retreat down at Little Galilee, just 30 minutes from here, is working on the other side of the planet. Isn't that awesome? Man. So I love, too, that we brought them mediums, but they're such small people. They're just, like, hanging on them like dresses, you know? That's one of the things that's funny. Okay. Well, I want to show you that picture because that happened yesterday. That happened on the same day that we had our experience. And you need to know that this is a place that you guys have opportunity to give back to. This doesn't just happen. It happens because of your investment. It happens your investment in a lot of different ways. And I know you don't have a lot of money, and this isn't really about, hey, we need you to help fund what God's doing. We all need to buy into we need to give for our sake. God says, hey, where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. And right now you're on campus, and I'm asking for your heart. And so that's why we pass these KFC buckets, is just a reminder of that. So I'm just going to pray for our offering tonight. Know that it's going to go here. It goes to the Philippines. It doesn't go anywhere else. Okay? And so I'll pray, and then we can pass those KFC buckets. Rather, I think there's some on the corners here, too. We can get upstairs. Jesus, thank you for what you're doing. We are way not smart enough or talented enough or good enough to figure out ways in which we could see as much life change happen. This is all you're doing. It's you entering into the hearts of your people and helping us to realize our need for you, and that our surrender would be fulfilling in you. And I want to thank you for the 14 lives that were surrendered in baptism yesterday through this ministry, and for the investment that these students have to give back. So bless this offering to just go directly to more of that. That's what we care about. That's what we want. May our heart be your heart. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we can pass those around as we start. We're going to start by talking about, we're going to talk about something fairly heavy tonight. I'm just going to tell you, it's pretty heavy. And it's a topic I don't like to talk about because it's a topic that I have to get a little vulnerable with about for my own self in front of you. And the topic has to do with me having to tell you something about me that I don't want to tell you. Because there's something in me that I am confident that if you looked long enough and hard enough at me, you will see it. And it's kind of silly because what I'm talking about is on the inside. And I know that it's not really possible for you to see it on the outside, but I am sure that if you look at me long enough, I'm sure if you look at me hard enough, you're going to see it. Even if you catch a glimpse of this thing I'm talking about, I am confident that you're going to hate me. You're going to reject me. At best, you're going to think less of me. And that thing that's oozing out of me that I don't want you to see is called shame. And shame is different than guilt. I was looking at those two words I'm not going to lie to you. I was looking at them today, okay? over this weekend, I was like, oh, we have a sermon on Monday, don't we? Okay. I was looking at those two words, shame and guilt. And this is what I've concluded. I think guilt is associated with what you do. And shame is associated with who you are. I mean, really, I just can't see it being much different. Those are the differences. And we get those two words mixed up an awful lot, but there's something about shame that enters into us. And it's a matter of fact, I would say that shame, often the worst and the deepest pains of shame, often don't have a lot to do with what you did at all, but might have a lot to do with what was done to you. Shame comes from something within. And it usually happens out of a secret spot, a thing that you stumbled on or something happened to you and it was in private and it shouldn't have happened. It seemed like it was in the dark. And when it happens to you, it's as if you inserted this pill called evil. You tasted evil, it came inside of you, and it contaminated the whole inside. And you're just confident that if anyone sees you, if anyone looks at you, if anyone could look hard enough and at you deep enough, they'd see what you don't want anyone to see. I'm not talking about just people that have been abused. I'm not talking about just people that have had crimes committed against them. I'm talking about every single one of you. You've come to an age of accountability where something happened to you, something triggered something with you. You saw something you shouldn't have saw. You experienced something you shouldn't have experienced. And something entered into you. It was as if you took that pill and it changed the being of who you are. It was a contaminating thing. And it's the whole thing. We had a young lady from local high school here committed suicide about a month ago. She didn't even know. And immediately I talked to my mother-in-law. She's not a believer, but she's a social worker. She said, that suicide almost certainly was associated with shame. Associated with shame. Shame, it's in all of us. It is our culture. It is the essence of who many of us are. To a degree, it's what you are. And Jesus wants to free us from that. We're in a series called Set Free. And I really want this to be an amazing and powerful series because Jesus wanted nothing else to do more than to set people free. There's so many verses on it, it's crazy. We talked at the campfire the other night of how Jesus came to his hometown and he read this prophecy of how there's going to be someone that's going to come and set the captives free. And he says, that's me. That is what he's about. He's about setting us free. He's about taking that stuff that's inside of you and changing it. Now, there's really nothing we can do to change that shame. The only two things we usually do is we hide and we deflect. It's all we can do with it. Give you some examples. You don't want someone to see. Some people are going to be more inquisitive. They're going to be more insightful. They're going to ask questions. They're going to get to the heart of who you are. They're going to ask those penetrating questions, and you just avoid them. I'm busy tonight. Hide. I know for me, a lot of times people will come to me and they'll just be like, so tell me how you really are. And I'm like, man, thank you. Thank you for asking. The kids are great. No, Pete. I want how are you doing? I'm like, oh, that was so insightful. That was so helpful. Thank you for thinking of me so much. I'm doing great. But the real question is, how are you doing? We deflect. We hide. It's what we do to cover up what we don't want people to see. I'm going to read to you from Genesis. God made these two people. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. That's so cool. There's like all this creation that happens. And he creates Adam and he creates Eve. It says he walks in the cool of the day. He says they're hanging out. Like him, God, and these two are just chilling, just walking, talking, hanging out. The way it was meant to be. God meant it to be that way. And he told them one thing. He says, just don't do this one thing. There's this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat from it. Don't eat from it, because that fruit, it's like a magic pill. It's like knowing evil means you're going to ingest evil. You notice he didn't say don't touch it, don't hang by it, don't look at it. He said don't ingest it. They ingested evil. It came in and contaminated them. And all of a sudden, they had shame. Isn't it interesting that that's the word? It wasn't guilt. It was shame. And the next verse, as we see here, it says that, and then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God, and he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. This is what Jesus was doing. This is what God would do. He'd walk in the cool of the day. He's ready to take his walk with his two that he made, that was in his image. He's like, this is what you were made for. And he's ready for their daily walk. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, where are you? They're hiding. Next. He answered, I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked. So I hid. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? Next. And the man said, the woman. Of course the man said the woman. The woman. The woman you put here with me. You see, he's kind of pointing his finger. He's deflecting. We had hide, right? That was hide. Hide happened first. And then it was the woman that you put here. She gave me the fruit from the tree and I ate it. And then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me. And I ate it. We, from the very beginning of the fall, have gotten very good at hiding and deflecting. That's all you can do with shame. That's all you can do with it. There's nothing else you can do. You need a rescuer. Can't do it yourself. There's no mind power. There's no control. There's nothing that you can do that's going to pull yourself up and allow you to overcome shame. You cannot do it. All you can do is hide and deflect. So what I would really like to do tonight is I would like to help us understand how that escape can happen, how that setting free can take place. And the only people that I know on earth, I've seen some people that have had Jesus take this pain from them, have taken this shame from them, and I could do some stories of that, but I guess tonight I want to take a little different approach, because there's a whole different set of people that I know, that I look to, and I just say, shame is not really a big problem for them. Do you know what group I'm talking about? I'm talking about the group that are just below my kneecap in stature. All children are born with sin, but I'm telling you, some of them just don't have the shame yet. You know what? There really is something about this little baby that you pull in and you start rocking. I'm just telling you guys, I had so many cool moments with the Lord when I had my children. I can remember when Micah, my oldest, my daughter, was born, and I'm holding this frail little 7-pound thing. I mean, 7 pounds. I mean, seriously, this thing is little. And her head's just kind of bobbling around, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to hold the head next to me, and I'm rocking her, and I'm walking with her, and she was kind of fidgety one night, and I was like, I don't care, perfect, awesome, I get to walk her. I was at this hospital, and I'm just walking this thing around that's from me. It's part of me. It's crazy. This is mine. This is bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. And I have this connection with her. And I see her, and she doesn't feel any shame. And I don't project any shame. There's just something different about seeing a naked little baby. It's like there's just nothing shameful about that. And you're just holding her and rocking her, and you're bouncing with her. And something went through my mind right then that said this. Said, you know what? I'm going to do it different than everyone else that's ever walked the planet. I'm going to love her so much that she's never going to feel shame. We can do it. We can do it. And I just hold her and I rock her and I love her. And she grows a little bit and she gets a little bigger. And that's cool. And my wife, you know what my wife says? My wife says this. She says, I want you to buy me for Christmas one year. I want you to buy me a wooden rocking chair. Not one of those gliders. I want an old style wooden rocking chair. If you've been to my house, you see it's still in our house. And she'd sit in that, and she sat in that with all of our kids that were really little, and she was rocking them. Even when they got a little older, she'd flip them around on her lap, and they'd face out, and she'd rock them. And she would sing Amazing Grace. It's about the only song she ever sang with them. She said that before she even told me to get that rocking chair, she said, I want a chair that I can rock my kids in, that I can sing Amazing Grace to them. Now, you got to know something about Paulette. She can't sing. Okay. There are some people that are just a little off, then there are some people that are like my wife, okay? She's bad, okay? And I would sit in the other room, partly because she's self-conscious in front of me a little bit, but I'd sit in the other room just around the corner because I want to hear it. This off-tune woman singing Amazing Grace to her little kids, and it just was the most beautiful thing in the world. I loved it. I loved it. It's a beautiful, beautiful sound. Even 3 keys off. And I think that there's something that really is transferred. I am convinced of this. There's something transferred to a child when they know that their whole world does not judge them, shows love to them, acceptance to them. And when the most important person in your life thinks highly of you, shame is at a minimum. It really is. But eventually you get old enough and you meet somebody, or you stumble onto something on the internet, or you do something with your friends, or something ends up happening to you, and you begin to withdraw. and that comfortability that you had with your family and with your friends and that ability to just hang out and be with these people, you end up isolating yourself even more and more until you're alone, until you're dark, until it's cold. Some of you know what that feels like. There's something, I don't know where that transition happens. I don't know at what age it happens. But I see, even in these toddlers, like no shame or very little of it up till 3, 4, 5. And at 3, 4, 5 years old, I was thinking, I'm doing pretty good. My promise to the Lord, hey, we're going to be a shame-free family. This is the way it's going to work. And Cordell, he's 3, 4 years old. He just jumps out, and he's just not afraid. I mean, he just jumps out. This whole naked thing, we get it. It's like, shame. I don't want you to see me. 3, 4 years old, Cordell's just like, naked! How we all doing? Running around the house. I remember, this might border on inappropriate, but I'm going to share it anyway. We ended up getting this new dishwasher, and there's like this hose that's hooked to the dishwasher, this like accordion hose, you know what I'm saying? He was corking one end to his butt, and he's tooting and running around, showing it to his mom. No shame. None at all. Paulette didn't think that was nearly as funny when I didn't. Oh no. All right. Images are coming clear. I gotta go. All right, next topic. Shame. Pete's not feeling any tonight. But there's something about being a kid, being young, that really seems to just not resonate until you're a little bit older. And I'm going to tell you a secret, because I don't know if I've ever known this. I've been preaching to college students for a long time, but I've always been a little bit more relating to the college student than the parent. I'm getting to that age now where I'm relating more to the parent. There's nobody that wants you to not experience shame more than your mom and dad. Man, there's nothing that pains me more than the thought of my kids having a shame in them and a disconnect and an isolation from me or from others. I want to take that pain from them, and I can't do it. Just like earlier I said, there's nothing you can do except hide and deflect. There's nothing someone else can do for you. I want to take it from them, and I can't. So I've gotten to an age now where I realize that my kids are past that age where they know shame. They understand it. I don't think they're all ruled by it, but they have it. And it's something I want to take from them, and the only chance I've got is Jesus. And it's something I want to take from you tonight, too. And the only chance you've got is Jesus. It's the only shot you've got to take away whatever that is. Because I think a lot of you know what it feels like to have somebody peering into you and you just feel like they're seeing something they shouldn't see. That's shame. Because God made you so perfect and beautiful and holy and right and just, and he wants you to be loved, and he sees just this beautiful princess or this prince, and he sees somebody that needs to be he has dreams for you. And we're so consumed with what's on the inside that we almost feel like it's pouring out of our pores, and people are going to see it more clearly if they just look at us, and all we do is we hide and deflect. Man, I want you to be free from that. We want that for each other. And so I guess that what I really want to do tonight is I want to leave you with a story of a friend of mine named Garrett. Garrett used to do campus ministry on this campus when I first got here 20 years ago. He was just this young dude. He was an intern, actually, at Eastview. And he had a house right across from where the girls live at Broadway. It's gone now. We used to call it the Shack. It's gone now. And he lived there, and he told me the story one night. He said, my brother's very overweight. And he said, my brother tried out for the soccer team. And he said he was at some Saturday league. And the coach was just so oblivious to the shame that his brother felt, the subconsciousness about his weight. And there was just something he just didn't want anyone to see. And the coach was like, shirts and skins, awful. So your shirts, your skins, and you could just see the reaction as he's sitting there. He says, I'm watching my brother have to take his shirt off in front of everybody. And it just pained him deeply. And he says, and my dad is sitting on the bleachers. And he says, I knew it was hurting my dad too. And he says, my dad did something in that moment. I'm telling you, your parents care about you more than you think they do. They see shame more than that's going to trigger something in them more than anything else. And he says, my dad did something in that moment that made my dad a hero to me. He says, my dad got off the bleachers and he walked out in front of all these parents in the stands. And he went to the edge of this bench where his son was sitting on the bench before he was to go in. He was just sitting on the bench. And he took his shirt off, farmer tan and all. And he put it on his son. It's a picture. It's a picture of a father who wants desperately to cover his son's shame. But it's only an outside-in kind of an act that a parent can give. And it's a beautiful act, but it's a temporal act. And the difference is that we have a God who wants to do an inside-out kind of work on you. He wants to take it. He wants you to consume something. He wants you to consume himself in a way that just kind of is the antidote of what you swallowed before. And as you insert it, it's going to just spread throughout you, and it's going to make you clean. It's not going to take away some of the other things that happened to you. It's not going to change some of your emotions and some of your feelings. But there is an antidote that says, I am the most important person in the room. And I don't see your shame. I am the most important person in the room, and I choose to sing over you. I am the most important person in the room, and I want you to be comfortable. And that's the image I have. I remember my kids sitting on my wife's lap, especially when they were older. And they're just kind of plopped up there. And their heads aren't up. Their heads are like kind of rested back on my wife. And she's nestling with them, and she's rocking them, and she's singing them. And they just know, they just feel this fatherly, motherly, parent figure singing over them. That makes them know that I may have stuff inside, but there's a God or there's a person bigger than me that cares deeply about me. When God thinks highly of you, it changes everything. You can begin to look at yourself a little better and a little differently as well. So we're going to do something really simple to end tonight. We don't have worship. We're just going to have a song. I'm going to ask Ben to come forward now. And Ben's going to sing you a song, but it's not Ben. I want this to be the Lord. And I don't want you to be all uptight, and I don't want you to like critique her performance. As a matter of fact, I don't want you to even look at Ben if you can help it. And what I'm going to ask you to do right now, and I know it's a little weird, not really weird. I'm going to ask you to like slouch a little bit back in your seat and let your head hit the back of your chair. And just, yeah, nestle in. There we go. Nestle in. And I wanna talk to you for just 1 second. I'm gonna let Ben sing to you. I desperately want you to be free from shame tonight. God desperately wants you to be free from shame tonight. And you need to understand the reality of a God who wants that more than anything, and he sees beauty inside of you, and he sees all these good things in you. And I think that if we can allow this be a time where we might just sit and meditate and rest and let your Heavenly Father put you in his lap, that there might be something transferable that would happen in your heart that would just be the antidote that you need tonight. So God, I'm going to pray that you come right now. I'm going to pray that you would be present right now. I don't understand all these things. I don't understand how they all work. But I know your son Jesus died a perfect death to cover imperfect people. I know that. Most of us in this room know that. Some of us haven't experienced that. But we're asking God that you would break through music, through you, through your son, through this time, that we would recognize for tonight that you are our Father. And we are your children. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.